Okay. So we have just finished the game, the little mini series. For us, it was a short amount of time of recording. For the audience, they'll get multiple parts to listen to. So this was a short little jaunt for us. But what are your guys' initial feelings? Like, we had just finished. So how are you guys feeling?
This was awesome. The vibe of old gods of Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really suits the limo horror system.
Mm.
I think they're made for each other.
I mean, yeah, definitely what felt, it definitely was short, but definitely didn't feel like a little jaunt. It's very much like listening to episodes of Old Gods, where it's like, sometimes the episodes aren't very long, but you get a full, complete, satisfying story, whether it's got triumph or heartbreak or horror.
Yeah.
Like, it's a complete story in itself, and it definitely felt like that. And yeah, I loved it. That was great.
My first question to you both is, I guess it's like a behind the scenes, like, production prep question, but how do you feel about doing those questions, the kind of prologue exercise that we did? Because Adelaide, this, a little peek behind the curtain, this game is meant for, it's supposed to be a one shot. It's meant for what's the word at the conventions? It's like a convention game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
But I kind of stretched things out. I made some tweaks because Adelaide needed to be very important. So what do you guys think about the exercise that we did? Did you feel more connected to her?
I would say yes. I am, both as a player and a GM, I enjoy threading character relationships with an anchor NPC, so that everyone has somebody that they all like have emotional investment in outside of each other, so that they care about the world a little bit through that character. And I think doing the exercise for Adelaide with the sort of prologue as the kids, I think, was perfect for that, to give us like an image of what Adelaide looked like and how she sounded and what she meant to each character. Like,
yeah,
fully support, fully funded.
Okay.
I agree 100%. I found the character of Adelaide and their little prelude really grounded our characters and their relationships and gave us purpose, really. And I think it was really important to explore that and weave that through the story, because it was front and center, I think, in everything I think my character did. He was doing all this weird shit for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think because you guys are good role players, I could have just been like, Adelaide's your friend, she's important to you, so make sure you act like it. But I think it adds another layer of like, no, let's actually sit in some scenes together with her. And so you can feel like, I think it helps with the role play even more, so you're not faking it. Because I think you could have like faked it and it would have been fine, professional enough to be like, okay, yeah, she's important, okay, I'll make my decisions based off that. But I think, well, you guys are the players, so you can tell me. I feel like it helps with the role play and like deepening it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't feel like I have to fake it too much.
Makes it much
okay.
more visceral.
Okay.
Agreed. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think I'll be doing this. I mean, I like this. And because we only recorded a couple times, I was like, okay, how can we fast track them feeling like Adelaide is important? So I would recommend this to anybody who's doing like a little mini series where it's like 1 to 4 or 5 sessions and you need to fast track like connections and stuff. Have some type of exercise. Or do you guys have any advice for that?
God.
Just advice for new players for this, I think.
Yeah.
I think just like a story in Old Gods, like, take it slow. Like, yes, the stakes are high, and even if though we're moving the story quickly, it's all about building it together. And just like coming from an improv background, it's all about making your partners look good and really establishing your who's, your what's, your why's, and what we're doing. And I think between the three of us, we succeeded at that. And I think if you hold on to those sort of tethers, just remembering what your character is, what your relationship is to other players and to the world, you can get through it and just remember, oh, I'm in this world, and this is these are the rules of this world, and I'm doing A, B, and C together.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree. And the types of stories and games that you run, Maya, are very narrative heavy and RP heavy. And if you have the luxury of being in a game like that, I think taking the time to explore those relationships, those bonds with the other characters and NPCs will really just enhance, I think, your own experience at the table, make things a lot more, feel a lot more real for you. And you'll start to care about not only your character, but everyone else at the table, their characters and the NPCs and the world.
Yeah. And as a GM, as the game master and the facilitator here, I really appreciate when, of course, I appreciate when you care about your fellow player and your like and their character. But when you're taking the NPC seriously and treating them like real humans, I really appreciate that too. Because that's kind of just like, oh, this is the work that you put in as the GM, you know, because you don't have like a player character, but you work on your NPCs and bring life to them. So when the players are taking them seriously, it feels really good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. And
it does.
I want to add, though, it wasn't just Adelaide, too. It was Rabbit. Like,
oh, Rabbit.
Me as a player, I hated that thing.
He wasn't. Well, technically, he wasn't even a bad guy. He wasn't even like an antagonist.
Yeah, I wanted to kill him. This
he was creepy.
I remember. I remember that.
Freaky little rabbit. Yeah.
He was. Yeah. No. He was creepy. Freaky. Well, I'm glad Rabbit also had a visceral reaction for me. Okay, but now I'll throw it back to you guys. What question do you have for... I'll start with you, Michael. What question do you have for Andrew, and what question do you have for me? Well, just go to Andrew first.
Okay. I guess my question for you, Andrew, is knowing that this is actually the first time getting to play with you as a player, which has been a blast. And I want to know, like... How did you feel going through a majority of this adventure with that, like, playing full to the story, but as a character, like a player in the back of your head, that 10% actor, I am at one hit point, I'm gonna die at any moment. How did you, like, think about that and thinking, okay, if I die, you have to worry about a whole narrative moment? Like, how did you wrestle with that?
Honest answer, I didn't.
Wow. Lying by the seat of his pants.
Mad respect.
No, it's more like the way I played this character. I know Liminal Horror is a brutal game, a very deadly game. Mm-hmm. I fully was not expecting to live. So I just went full throttle with him. I honestly tried to act the way, if I were this man, faced with all the supernatural stuff that scared the bejesus out of him, and he just wanted to get the fuck out of there and finish this thing. Yeah, I would say. And that's why he attacked Rabbit, right? Because this thing, he thought it was a devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was
with
fully...
the choices of fight, flight, or freeze, we know which one he chose.
Yeah.
We know what he's doing.
So, yeah, that was... Yeah, I was fully expecting to die, so not a problem. And I was... totally okay with that. I would have felt bad because I felt like, given the stakes of this game and how deadly it is, leaving your character, like Zeke, in a bad spot because I was a little too aggressive.
But, yeah. I mean, he has his dog. Prince was there.
Prince was there. Like I said, you could have taken over for Prince. We could have understood what was going on in Prince's head.
You could. Would have loved to hear his dog thoughts.
And then I have a question for you now, Maya. Is that next?
Mm-hmm.
You are very familiar. We've had these conversations before. You are a fan of spooky. You're a fan of horror. You're a fan of like really gritty drama. How did playing in the world of Old Gods like feel different compared to other like similar like worlds feel? Like what drew you to wanting to tell a story through Old Gods, and like what about it resonates with you?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say fan is an understatement. I love this stuff. I think horror is such a good storytelling medium. So, of course, that's what drew me initially. But also, I've been doing research into, like, Call of Cthulhu. And so that led me into, like, oh, like, this, what's the type of horror? That's a, like, eldritch horror?
Cosmic horror. Eldritch or cosmic horror, yeah.
So I went down that hole, and then I was like, oh, I want to, because we were doing Iron Rising, which is sci-fi, and I was like, oh, I want to do something, I need a different genre, because we're about to, like, start recording for that again. So I was like, I need something else, and I've been looking into Call of Cthulhu, but I needed something just a little bit more stripped back. And then I love a Southern twang, and I love, oh, you know what? I got inspired by the music, too. I have been listening to the music that people will hear all throughout the podcast by Guillermo Cueva.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so good. It's the music you're hearing right now, like, in the background. This is, like, all composed by him. So I have that on for, like, an hour while I'm prepping. Like, music will inspire me, pictures will inspire me. So I heard that, and he has, like, a whole Southern Gothic playlist. And I said, let's just do some Old Gods of Appalachia. Because I have the PDF, and I know the setting and the lore is so cool and interesting. But I don't like the... I don't think Cypher System works well. So I was like, let's transfer it over to Liminal Horror. I think this is perfect. So yeah, that's what inspired me.
Nice.
Everything you love about Pocket Bard is leaving your phone and hitting the big screen. The desktop app is finally here, launching right in time for free RPG Day. So if you run your tabletop games from your computer, you can now have your ultimate audio companion sitting right alongside your campaign notes. It's completely free to download with zero ads. You get the forever free Fantasy Essentials collection right out of the box, and it features artist-composed music and seamless transitions. And best of all, you get full control of the flagship intensity slider, so with a single click, you can shift the music on the fly from quiet exploration to epic combat without breaking immersion. Bigger screen, same bard, and to celebrate, they've even added a free cozy lo-fi collection with three brand new scenes. So prep less and play more. Download the free desktop build for Windows or Mac directly at pocketbard.app or find it on the Microsoft Store today. Whether you're exploring a damp dungeon or facing a galactic empire, your character deserves to look exactly how you imagine them. That's why I'm excited to announce that we're partnered with Hero Forge. Hero Forge lets you design fully customizable tabletop miniatures right in your browser. You can choose from dozens of fantasy species and thousands of individual parts, from the gear they carry to the specific expression on their face. They even have advanced features like custom posing to really capture your character's personality. And the best part? The vault is always growing. They add new parts every single week, so there is always a new way to level up your tabletop presence. So visit heroforge.com today to start designing your custom miniature. And remember, check back often because new content is added every week.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here, let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are... miraculous!
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume, sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence!
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
And I still want to try Call of Cthulhu. I definitely will, for sure.
Good to know.
Okay, Andrew. What are your two questions, my friend?
All right. So first question is for Michael. Again, it was a pleasure playing with you. This was a really fun experience with me, for me. But my question for you is, as I know you're an accomplished GM as well, so how do you prepare for a game like this as a player versus a GM in terms of the role that the world is setting? Is there anything you do to get yourself into the headspace of your character or anything? Because I know you're also in theater too.
Yeah, I guess I sort of fall into some old theater habits where I'll try to like give myself a few like tethers to senses where like I enjoy listening to music that fits a setting. Like if I'm working on, you know, if I'm working on my Curse of Strahd campaign, I'll listen to some like Castlevania or some gothic horror music to get into the mood. If I'm painting like dragons and stuff, I'll put on some like good old Hans Zimmer or put on some, you know, Middle Earth music.
Nice. I do the same exact thing, by the way. Love it.
Oh yeah. So again, listening to like Southern Gothic and some of the older time music, that's something I very much resonate with. And I also will sit and like say some phrases as like in the character, like play with a character voice. I know it's not a mandatory thing for players or GMs to have a character voice, and I fully am fine if players want to stick with their own voice or play character voices, that's fine. But I guess just coming from a performer's background, it helps ground me in a character when I have their voice. And working in theater, it's like you learn the characters, the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they react to things, how their physique changes when they're stressed out or when they're tired or when they're in love. And it's all just sort of become part of how I prepare for even a character, whether it's an NPC or a player. That's how I sort of think about, you know, how does this character like exist in the world? Does he lead with his chest puffed up? Does he lead with his head because he's a thinker? Does he lead with his hips because he's very sensual? Like, what is the character's, like, the way they do everything? And I sort of put that into my little mind palace and then shoot from the hip and see what happens. Because I've also learned that through improv training, sometimes nothing works and that's okay. Because it's all telling the story. It's all about having fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that's really, really cool.
I apologize if that was a long-winded answer.
No, that's amazing. Because I felt that when you're portraying your character, like you were Zeke, right? And the way you spoke, the way you acted. That was really, really cool.
Oh, thank you.
So, Maia, my question for you. Now, this setting, in particular, Old Gods, is set in a period where there was a lot of social tensions and things, including racism and the portrayal of Black people and not always in a positive light. Do you see yourself in any of the stories that you plan on telling, either in this genre or in other like Old Gods type settings, I suppose, where that would become a thing, like or introduce those concepts or themes? Or
I don't know. As of right now, no. I personally am not interested in telling those types of stories. I always say, like during our session zeros, that racism is a thing in the world and I'm not going to erase it or say that it didn't happen. I never want to do that. But it's something that I don't want to focus on or highlight. So like it will never be like a main premise point, or we'll see, or I won't be describing like police brutality or hangings or something. Like there are tons of stories like that already. And I think probably I'm personally burnt out a little bit. There's just so many like slave films and stuff. And I think after, what is it, like 21 years a slave or something, I looked at every person that I knew that was Black and I was like, we're tired of this, right? We're done. Everybody was like, yes, like this. So you're so happy when like stories of like Black Panther came out. No matter what you think of like the script or whatever, we're just happy like to see like Africans and Black people on the screen. So that's why I'm focusing on like, we're still dealing with deep messed up stuff, but racism specifically probably not anytime soon. But that won't, if anybody else wants to focus on that, I, you know, more power to them. But for my games, probably not.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. My question for Andrew. because technically this is your first time on Maya's game room. How was the experience? Because we've played together before. I've ran for you before, but not on this particular podcast. And I guess one would say my standards a little bit higher, darling.
Yes. Your standards are higher than mine. There's no doubt.
I didn't say they're higher than yours. I just said they're higher. But yes, how was it on this podcast for the first time and telling this type of story? Did you notice anything differently or that you did differently or anything like that?
Yeah. You didn't let me crack any jokes.
Hey-o.
I was literally biting my tongue on a few occasions. So this.
I can see it. This guy wants to tell a dick joke. I can see it. It's gonna come out.
No, but it was fun, especially like playing off of like Michael. It was just easy. And it was fun. And we were so, I felt like we were so into the story and just kind of things were flowing easily. And that's always fun. It was interesting watching you doing the producing. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to that level of production, I suppose, in terms of when I hold my finger up, you should shush. And I'm here, I'm blabbing away, right? Totally ignoring your finger.
Andrew, look at me. Shut up.
So that was cool. No, I'm always learning things from you, Maya, and I appreciate that. So this was a good experience, very positive experience for me.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure, you guys. Thanks for playing. Thanks for getting into character and accepting Adelaide and all of her foibles and troubles that she had. And I really appreciate you guys coming in and just going 100% on your characters. It was nice to see, and it's fun to play with and to GM for. You guys are great.
Of course.
Thank you.
You're great too. Thanks for inviting us. This was a blast.
Of course. 100%.
Thank you, Maya. Appreciate you.
Of course. I appreciate you both. So that is the end of our mini-series. And whatever we have in store. Do you guys want to give a little shout out to who you are real quick? Make it quick. You got 2 seconds.
I'm Andrew. I'm one of the GMs on Looking for Mom. Go check me out over there. That's where my stuff is.
And I'm Michael. My social name is Morkel GM. I'm also part of the LFM GM team, and I'm on Blue Sky. And yeah, you can find me there either playing games or running games.
Yeah. And I'm Maya. Well, you're going to hear who I am in the outro, which I pre-recorded. So, everybody, wave and say goodbye, even though they can't see you wave, but I can.
Bye-bye.
We're waving at you, Maya.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
And that brings our time in the woods to a close. A massive thank you to our players, Andrew Park as W.E. and Michael Gilbert as Ezekiel Green. My name is Maya, and I have been your game master and narrator. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourselves, family, and remember, it's always best to leave them ghosts alone.